Hello, this is Pamela Badilla, your neighbor from Data Data International Folkloric Theater, and you're listening to your radio station, WGXC, Acre, New York, hands-on community radio for Columbia and Greene County. Enjoy.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Christopher Lee Brothers Plumbing and Heating of Albany, wishing everyone a joyous holiday season and Happy New Year. Red Carpet Service and Solutions since 1939. Information at CRISBRO.com.
Wavefarms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Alyssa Levy and Adam Ames in Brooklyn, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Luke Parsnell reports for New York State of Politics that Josh Eisen announced on December 5th that he will run for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand. Eisen is a Westchester County businessperson who unsuccessfully ran for New York's 17th congressional district in 2020. Eisen said, and I quote, "Kirsten Gillibrand has been there for many, many years, and I think it's time now for there to be a different approach to how we deal with business, regulation, and ultimately it's about how we think about communities and big government, and I am from the camp of people who strongly believe that big government be always questioned," end quote. The Gillibrand camp released a statement December 5th complaining about, and I quote, "his long, troubling, and well-documented history of stalking, harassment, misogyny, and racism," end quote. In 2016, Eisen was arrested in New York City and charged with stalking his ex-business partner's wife. Gillibrand used to live outside of Hudson and represented the 19th Congressional District before moving to the Senate. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Joshua Solomon reports for the Times Union that new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, helped Representative Elise Stefanik raise $1 million during an event at a Manhattan steakhouse over the weekend. The money is going to Stefanik's effort to get $100 million for Republicans running for Congress in New York next year. Republicans flipped several seats in the 2022 election, helping to give them a now four-seat majority. Johnson said, and I quote, "I will be back in New York often to ensure we work to raise the funds necessary to protect and expand our House Republican majority," end quote. Stefanik is expected to give the $100 million to the campaigns of New York House Republicans Anthony D'Esposito, Andrew R. Garbarino, Nick LaLota, Mike Lawler, Nicole Malliotakis, Mark Molinaro, Brandon Williams, Nick Langworthy, and Claudia Tenney. Molinaro represents the 19th Congressional District in the Hudson Valley and flipped that seat from Democrats in 2022. Jared Gans at The Hill reports that Governor Kathy Hochul has set a special election for former Representative George Santos' seat on the House of Representatives for February 13th. Hochul said, and I quote, "As governor, I have the solemn responsibility to call a special election to ensure the voters of Long Island and Queens once again have representation in Congress. Members of Congress provide critical constituent services, serve as a link to federal agencies, and advocate on behalf of the constituents who sent them to Washington. I look forward to working with the next representative for the 3rd Congressional District on issues facing New Yorkers," end quote. Santos is a Republican, and Republicans now have control of the House of Representatives by only 4 votes. Santos faces 23 felony charges, including counts of wire fraud, identity theft, and campaign finance violations. The nonpartisan Crook Political Report rates the special election as a, and I quote, "toss-up," end quote, without candidates announced yet. Local political bosses will choose the candidates. Read more about this story at The Hill. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
It is time to pursue my passion in a new arena. While I'll be departing the House at the end of this year, I will never, ever give up fighting for this country that I love so much.
California Republican and former Speaker Kevin McCarthy put out a video confirming he's retiring from the House at the end of the year. Despite only serving a contentious 9 months as Speaker before being forced out in an unprecedented rejection, McCarthy sounded the note of optimism common to his public statements. When asked if he would abuse presidential authority if he wins re-election, former President Donald Trump told Fox News he'd start off a new term by being dictator for one day.
He says, "You're not going to be a dictator, are you?" I said, no, other than day one. We're closing the border and we're drilling. After that, I'm not.
The overwhelming favorite for the Republican nomination now regularly uses authoritarian rhetoric. Last month, he used the word vermin to describe his domestic opponents. At a press conference regarding a foreign aid package stalled in the Senate, President Joe Biden said he and probably 50 other Democrats would beat Trump. Biden also made an urgent plea for Congress to pass billions in Ukraine aid, warning that a failure to do so would hand Russian President Vladimir Putin a victory and embolden him to invade other European countries.
It's stunning. Who is prepared to walk away from holding Putin accountable? I tell you, I'm not prepared to walk away. And I don't think the American people are either.
Democrats in Congress are pushing to let people vote in federal elections in spite of a criminal record, which would restore a ballot to millions. Senator Peter Welch of Vermont and Representative Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts introduced the Inclusive Democracy Act Tuesday.
Our bill is a reflection of bold, progressive, democratic values. Because Republicans and the Supreme Court undermine voting rights and exclude black and brown folks from participating in our democracy, we must be just as relentless.
The House is likely to vote next week to formalize its Biden impeachment inquiry, in part to make it possible to enforce subpoenas. A House committee wants to force the president's son to testify in a closed-door hearing. Hunter Biden says he would be glad to, but only if the hearing is open to the public. California Democrat Ted Lieu says there is no basis for the inquiry.
Even I know that you need evidence to go forward with an impeachment inquiry. Unlike with President Trump, he incited an insurrection. There was video of it. There was audio of it. Here, there's just no evidence.
Four Republican presidential candidates, not including Trump, met for a debate last night in Alabama. Some political observers described the race as a battle for second place between rising former governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, and Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 26th, a federal circuit court judge ordered Georgia's redistricting maps to be redrawn to include majority-minority opportunity districts for Congress, state Senate, and state House. Legislators appear to be manipulating the new maps, too. Judge Stephen Jones ordered one additional congressional district be added to allow a realistic chance of minority voters electing the candidates of their choice under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. He also required two additional opportunity state Senate districts and five additional state House districts. The new maps include those districts, but while it included a new majority-minority congressional district, the legislature dismembered another majority black district served by black Congresswoman Lucy McBath. A letter from the Georgia ACLU and other plaintiffs said, in sum, the committee plan operates a shell game in which black voters in the vote dilution area identified by the court gain no new opportunities, and districts that the court specifically struck down remain intact. Democracy Docket reports that December 4th, the Georgia Senate approved the still gerrymandered maps. The new maps must be adopted by the legislature, signed by Governor Brian Kemp, and submitted to the courts for review by December 8th. Whether black Georgians get a fair shake is still up in the air. We have more on Georgia's gerrymandered maps and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, December 7th. Local early morning temperatures range from 15 degrees in Steventown to 24 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 39 degrees. Snowfall yesterday led to a report of 1.3 inches in Albany. And today, there is more in store for us. Well, for some of us anyway. Looks like those west of the Hudson will see more snowfall. Less than a half inch is expected. Snowfall will be heaviest in the afternoon. A high of 34 happens at 1 p.m. And if conditions are right, around 5 p.m., some members of the Makers may be wassailing through Catskill on their way to the secret broadcasting location. Look for the penguin, who should be right at home up until about 6 p.m. when the snow comes to an end. Again, in Columbia County, none of this matters. You should be mostly clear all day. Overnight, temperatures drop to 27 degrees. Tomorrow, looks like no snow is expected, and we get a high of 41 at 1 p.m. Since each area is unique, I'm going to call Friday the first day of winter for the Twin Counties. It will be the earliest sunset of the whole year, and conditions for our winter come together. And just to remind everyone, our region is more likely to have rain than snow during the winter. 32 degrees overnight takes us into a chilly-looking Saturday with a high of 45. Sunday, cool, hitting 56 degrees. Rain is expected all day. Sunset today will be at 4:11 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:07 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be average at 504 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 125. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who will see you on the Thingularity Radio program tonight at 7.
Last night.
Oh.
and out and out refuses to help you. You say you want to get out, you want to get out, but you don't have the NCAT. You better make the most out of the TV dream. You think you're getting the bird's eye view of Jeannie's navel. Turns out you're flirting with Flick out there in the stable. Sergeant Friday finds out and reads you right. Says take care of Katie's triplets for 1,001 night. You say you want to get out. The Ferris got you smothered in cream. Well, there's no escape from this TV. Now you look at Poland and Solo, just thrown up from all the cute little black kids talking like grown-up. Our planning won't even let you question the answers until you've tried out for the solid gold dancer. You say you want to get out. It doesn't even help if you scream. No, life's not as real as this TV dream. A TV dream. A TV dream. A TV dream.
Desire. Sunburned Hand of the Man are getting us started on the WGXC morning show. I'm Tom Rowe in Accra. And let's find out what is going on at TSL in Hudson tonight.
Listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM. I am Tom Rowe. Now joining us is Rick Royer, who has congratulations due, as he has a new book out called Niagara Falls, NY. Is that how you pronounce it?
You could pronounce it like that, or Niagara Falls, New York, or even call it Niagara Falls, NY, if you want.
And you are one of the voices behind the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater podcast that also airs on WGXC on Saturday mornings in the 9 a.m. hour, and are having, is it a book review? Is it official book launch? Or what is the show Thursday at TSL in Hudson?
It's one of the many book launches. I'm just going to keep doing book launches until my next book comes out. Sounds better than doing a book reading.
Well, this is more than a read. I don't know if you're reading, but there's performances at this show Thursday, December 7th at TSL in Hudson, right?
Yeah. It's got a couple really exciting performers, Bethany Ides and Joseph Keckler. They could headline a bill themselves, so I think it'll be a lot of fun.
And are they clapping the books together to make sounds, or what are they perform? How are they performing?
Well, Bethany is doing like a full-on play, and Joseph is going to do a bunch of short pieces. He's a vocalist and a writer out of New York. I made sure, just in case people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to see someone just read out of a book, then I have some real spectacle.
Razzle dazzle.
Yeah, some real entertainment. Even Streisand is on the next show in Delhi.
Well, I guess so. Introduce us to the world of Niagara, the book, the podcast, the what fascinates you about Niagara?
Well, I grew up there. I was born and grew up there. I left there when I was 18, and nothing about it fascinated me when I grew up there. But once I left there and realized how weird it was in relation to everywhere else I've been, I started to appreciate its absurdity and just its uniqueness. I wasn't sure I was going to write about the city now when I was writing the book, because the original impetus for writing was about a historical, it was going to be a historical piece about a certain aspect of Love Canal, which I know you're aware of. I'm not sure how many people under 30 are aware of it, but it was a big deal. And still pretty significant.
It was like the worst environmental disaster in American history at the time or something?
Exactly.
Discovered in the 70s or the 60s?
Yeah, first Superfund. Yeah, it was the late 70s. But as I was writing that piece, as I was there, as I was in Niagara Falls researching it, I just thought, just looking around and figuring, well, the real material is just all around me and, my family and my stories from the past and its whole history from when it started up until now. So the book is in one part a historical piece, nonfiction, and then the rest of it is about me being in Niagara Falls writing this piece. So it gets a little meta. And then also there's just absolute spirals into complete surrealism, a la the I Have Seen Niagara show. So it's got a little bit of everything. Real history, somewhat fake reality, and totally bonkers not reality. And
but so I think that's a description
everyone.
Of Niagara Falls, right?
Absolutely.
I'm guessing, maybe this is not true, but is the people having weddings there, is that like a construct by somebody trying to create tourism there 100 years ago or 200 years ago or something? Or
I'm not
why
sure
do people get married at Niagara Falls?
I'm not actually sure how the actual tradition of the honeymoon or the marriage,
that's what
about.
It is, the honeymoon
it's
is Niagara
Falls,
honeymoon. Not getting married there.
A little bit of both, but maybe people get married in the little things in Las Vegas and then go across
right.
the state to the But mostly honeymoons, yeah. But it's full of paradoxes as well, because it's known for a place where a lot of people do their honeymoons to begin a new phase of their life, but it's also known as a place where people, it's one of the suicide capitals of the country too. So it's a place where people end a phase of their life, a big phase of their life, their entire life.
And then there's the whole barrel thing too.
There's paradox.
Is there
too,
is there a barrel company there that why do people get into barrels?
Probably because the first person who went over the falls went over in a barrel, and it was a woman. Her name was, I'm blanking on it right now, but it'll come to me.
Why did she do that?
She did it for money.
Someone paid her to go over in a barrel.
Not necessarily paid her to do it, but at that time there were a number of, all around the falls it was a bit more carnivalesque.
More than today?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like the Senecans were all, had little shops around the falls, the park. It was an Olmsted Park. It's actually the first national park. And, you know, people were all hawking like cheap stuff. It's similar to Niagara Falls, Ontario. They've kind of cleaned that up at this point. So she, after she went over the falls in a barrel, she had a little stall, a little booth around there. And I don't know, she would sign autographs or something, but she just wanted to be like a personality and make money like
An
that.
An early Kim Kardashian jumped off, rode the first barrel over the Niagara Falls. That's what you're telling me?
Yes, exactly. I don't know how Kardashian she was. In those days, her TikTok account
wasn't quite as hopping, but
back in those days, I think they would call her an old maid. She was someone who was in her 40s, she was a widow. So there wasn't a lot of opportunities for her. So I think it was actually a smart thing to go over the falls in a barrel.
What did the Native Americans think of Niagara Falls before the Europeans got here? Did they worship it as, or like treat it special, or just they didn't care at all? It was just another waterfall.
Well, they had more of a, from what I know. Oh, Annie Taylor.
Annie Taylor
was the woman who went
in the barrel.
Yeah. You know, the very first image of Niagara Falls was a lithograph, I'm not sure if that's the right word, from a Dutch artist, and it depicts Westerners and Senecans, the Senecans leading the Westerners, Hennepin was the explorer's name, to the falls, and there's a variety of gestures that they're having they're making to the falls, and some of them are
were the Senecas handing out those little plastic raincoats for them.
Yeah, they're bringing them down the cave of the winds. Some of them were looking at it in awe. Some of them were covering their ears, and some of them were covering like it was more of a sight of horror to the first Western eyes. As a matter of fact, that's one of the quotes I have.
Really?
That opens up the book from one of the first Western explorers. In a word, on whatever side you turn your eyes, you discover nothing which does not inspire a secret horror. So, as you can imagine, I would imagine the route to it wasn't so well paved. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the actual falls is a little bit groomed. It's not as kind of wild as it once was. The actual volume of water that goes over the falls is monitored and can be adjusted based on for power purposes. So it's pretty. Pretty much in human control at this point. It's been stopped to clean up rock slides. It's not as much wild nature as it actually looks and feels. I mean, it's still amazing when you go there. Yeah. Every sense is
you taste, feel something. You taste it.
The mist. You can feel the mist, and the smell is wonderful. Sound great, best white noise you can ask for if you're a fan of that stuff, which I am.
Today it's an odd place too. Not just when it was wild, it's an odd place, but it's probably more odd now.
it's more odd in a different way, for sure. And it's especially odd considering how many different places it's been pulled since it became a town, a city, from initially being such a wonder, a natural wonder with all these resources and opportunity, to then being industrialized. And they had, at that point, a lot of factories right up on the on the falls, because that was before alternating current. So your best bet for getting high power was to be close to a sense of power, a source of power. So there were factories right up against the falls. Not a real pretty tourist site. But then ever since then, the industrial decay and mismanagement and kind of abuse of the land. And so it's weird in a very different way. Yet the park is still beautiful. I mean, you go there and you walk through Niagara Falls to get there, and you're like, what is this place? But then once you get to the edge of the falls, it kind of gets washed away, and you're like, okay, this is kind of worth it.
I guess.
Have you been?
I've been once, yeah. And it was odd and weird. I think we stayed in a hotel, maybe on the Canada side. I don't remember which side. The Canada side is where all the weird shops and stuff are. Maybe they're on both sides, probably.
Well, in Canada, it's all the weird shops that are still open. The Niagara and the New York side, it's a lot of weird shops that are closed.
Yeah, so it was the Canadian side then.
Yeah, okay.
There's like a casino there now, right?
Casino on both sides, but yeah. The casino in Canada has been there longer. Mm. And there's, you know, the wax museums in Canada, haunted houses, Ferris wheel,
yeah,
whole bells and whistles. And it's all neon lights and fireworks. And it's all dark by 9 o'clock on the American side.
But I guess like 200, 300 years ago, if you just came to America for the first time and you wanted to see some great natural environmental thing, it was the closest thing on the East Coast, right? You didn't. Mm-hmm. There's out west, there's all kinds of grand mountains and monuments and things, but
yeah,
I can't think of anything else close on the East Coast that is like that. A kind of wonder of the world kind of thing.
No, and nothing that had a path is used and burned and cultivated as it was from the East Coast to get to Niagara Falls. Because there were a lot of people who were thinking that Niagara Falls was going to be pretty much like the most important city.
And Buffalo kind of was for a little while, right?
Up until the McKinley assassination, pretty much.
Well, he got killed in Buffalo, right? Yeah,
he sure did.
Because that's mostly because of the Mohawk, the Hudson and the Mohawk, because people could travel on the waterways.
That's right.
And people could come from Detroit and Chicago from the waterways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they had a lot going on for it.
Except the internet today, it ruined Buffalo, you know, the roadways and airplanes,
yeah.
and the technology changed the industry.
And that's a lot about what the book is about, is looking at the first wave of utopians in the 19th century that were looking at Niagara Falls as being the next huge place. There were a ton of utopian thinkings, thinking in the late 19th century, mid to late 19th century, and a lot of them had their eyes on Niagara Falls, including King Camp Gillette, who failed to build a metropolis in Niagara Falls like he wanted to do, but then succeeded in inventing the disposable razor. It's that Gillette.
Mm.
So he did pretty good. He revolutionized grooming, at least.
All right, we only have less than a minute left. Boy, this went fast. We're talking with Rick Royer, the author of the brand new book, Niagara Falls, New York, with a book release show on Thursday, December 7th at TSL mm-hmm. in Hudson. What time? And give us all the details.
That's at 7 o'clock. And it's $15 to get in, but you get a book with your ticket. So look at that. And Bethany Ides, Joseph Keckler. And then on December 9th, another Hudson Valley one in Delhi at Bushel Collective. That's with Jennifer Cabot and Lucas Crane, who is my
other partner in IFC Niagara. Partner. Yes, yeah. Yes. And mm-hmm. so tune in IFC Niagara in the 9 a.m. hour, Saturdays on WGXC. You can find Niagara Falls, New York in your local bookstores. And you can see Rick Royer Thursday, December 7th at TSL in Hudson. Right now in the studio, the folks behind Chosen Family Zine, Mike Amari, the event organizer for Opus 40 Basilica, and others, and Liam Singer, the owner of the Avalon Lounge and a member of Wave Farm's board of directors, is on the phone with us. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going? So we're sort of in our own little hibernation mode right now. We take a break from December through March of making the physical zine and distributing that, which has the show paper in it. But we do still post it at the top of each month on the Instagram at Chosen Family Presents. And then I'm also putting those images up at chosenfamilypresents.com. So if you don't use social media, or you know someone who doesn't use social media, wants to be able to find out about events going on in the area, chosenfamilypresents.com. You can find the full show paper at the top of each month this winter.
And the show paper is the exhaustive calendar listings of what's going on in the month that the Chosen Family Zine comes out.
Not quite exhaustive. We edit it a little toward events that we think our readers will be interested in, and smaller venues. But there's a lot there.
I just thought you guys were exhausted once you finished putting
exhausted.
It together. Yeah.
Oh, it's exhausting in that way for sure.
It's fun to just not only know keep on top of what's happening, but keep on top of new venues and spaces that are popping up all over the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, and being December, we're firmly in the winter. There's no outdoor spaces happening, and the indoor spaces that are the regulars in the area do have a lot going on this month, which maybe if you're new to the area, you think everything's shutting down. But actually, like Tubby's, Avalon, Colony, all have a lot of events going on.
Yeah, we just talked about TSL having two events this week.
And actually at Tubby's, one show I wanted to highlight is the Anjimile, I think that's how you pronounce their name. Willis Ross is going to open that show. That's going to be a really nice sort of like indie folk, but like dreamy and sort of experimental.
What date was that?
Oh, that is on the 7th, so that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And then at Avalon, one of the shows that stuck out to me is Aaron Dyer from Buick and Gaze, local.
The new record is great. Yeah. We've been playing a lot of the new record here.
That's essentially a release show, right, Liam?
It's a release show, yeah. And My Tree, who's playing, that's the sort of experimental pop project of Caroline Davis, who has played Avalon before in her sort of new composition jazz hat, but this is sort of another project of hers. And then Lily Konigsberg is also on the bill, formerly of Talberta. Yeah, three kind of really amazing experimental pop acts.
Yeah, Lily's great. I'm curious to see what they do on that show. They have like so many different projects and things that they do.
Totally.
Similar to Aaron, actually. So, that's a great,
lots of
great
side
bill.
Projects there, yeah.
That's on the 13th.
But you know Aaron from Buick and Gaze. That's the main band, if you don't know.
Yeah. But then, there's all these other spaces, like outside of those core spaces that have stuff going on this month.
Mike, do you know much about Toasted Newburgh? Because more and more events are popping up there, but I don't know anything about it.
No, I haven't actually been there yet for an event.
It's a venue?
It's a venue bar. There's sort of an extra space. They've done little movie screenings, little parties.
Dance parties. They're having a drag show.
Yeah. They also kind of team up with another venue in Newburgh called Jet Set Tiki Bar, which they're near each other. And so on New Year's Eve and Halloween and stuff, they'll do parties where it's like one ticket and you get into both, and there's things going on at both. Like, stuff like that, which I think is really
It's
creative.
Always fun to, like, be able to change your whole atmosphere. If it's not going well at one place, then you can go to the other place and, like, a whole new view on life.
If the little tiki umbrella starts, like, speaking to you, then you can just move on over to to the other one.
Two shows that I was surprised were not sold out, at least when I was researching the show paper. Marnie Stern on the 15th at Tubby's.
Almost sold out, but I believe there are still tickets.
Almost sold out. And then the next night at Glenn Falls House, Rebel Bucket is playing, and that's a collaboration with Polly G's Pizza. There is some sort of all-you-can-eat pizza plus see the band deal.
I think that's Wild Honey Pie putting that show on. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that was also close, I think, close to sold out when I looked into it. But
what was the date on that?
That's on the 16th.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and I love that, like Glen Falls House, you think of it as a summer spot in the area. I love that they're doing events in the winter.
Yeah, the tavern's very cozy. It's a nice place.
The food is always good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course, there are a bunch of, like, holiday-oriented events and shows. I mean, there's tons of markets, which we don't actually list because there's, like, too many. But I did want to highlight Darlene Love, who seems to always play the area with her holiday show. Sometimes at different places. She's doing that at Bearsville Theater on the 9th. You know, for my money, like, that's a show that's worth actually, like, I'm sure it's a lot of money. Like, you know, she's a legend. And her voice is still great, which is amazing. And then also at Jet Satiki Bar in Newburgh, there's a Satin Dolls holiday show. They're like, I don't really understand what it is, but it's like a very like vintage. It's almost like
seems kind of like the Rockettes almost.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Rockettes or something. It's like a what was it called when soldiers are overseas and their shows like USO shows.
Yeah.
It's almost like a USO.
Bob
show.
Hope is gonna pop in. And
yeah, exactly. But they're like really legit, and they do all these like big venues and stuff, and they're doing it in Newburgh at a tiny space, so it's kind of cool.
We're always fans here of the annual Brian DeWan holiday show that's at Avalon Lounge. That's the 21st when there's like Catskill events. You're also playing soundtrack to the Charlie Brown Christmas on the outside.
Yeah, so on the 21st, Catskill did this last year and it was a really big success. It's a solstice walk. The main street's shut down from 6 to 8 and there's sort of bonfires in the middle of the street. And so during that part of the night, Wesley Harper, we're going to drag the piano out into the street and project the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and he'll do kind of the live soundtrack to that. And then at 8:30 that night, an hour later, Brian DeWan is going to do his annual holiday special, which is, always a treat.
Yeah. How do you deal with, like, if it's freezing cold, like him playing the piano outside? Is that...
I don't know. I mean, if it's really cold, I might sub in our, I've got like a good fake piano, but
it'd
be fun to bring the real piano out just for the.
Well, I have, and I have to commend Liam and Avalon and Catskill. Like, I think you are really the only venue that we kind of keep track of that's doing events from the 20th to the 23rd.
Yeah, well, like I told you, like, I saw that, and then I thought maybe everyone else knows something I don't, but
and
I don't
some
know,
some of it's
like
holiday stuff, and some of it's just good local bands. So I don't know.
Yeah, we've got a great local show that Friday, and then Saturday, the 23rd, DJ Tall Ass Matt is bringing kind of a crew of great DJs down from Albany to throw a free party. So I'm hoping the people want to get out a little before they hole up with the family.
Yeah, and then, of course, we have some New Year's Eve events listed. There's a lot of, like, dance parties and stuff going on. We tried to list some things that were, like, a little different and more interesting. And there's New Year's Eve events happening,
I guess,
too.
That's the Felice Brothers are doing both, right?
Felice Brothers, I think the first night, the Eve is sold out, but actual New Year's Eve is not sold out at Colony.
Eve at Avalon. We have this party called Briscoe Disco that happened last year. Sort of organized by Ben Saratin, but Fote is DJing. Roost World, which is this great kind of live techno group from Burlington, performing. And that's a free party. And then, on actual New Year's Eve, we're having our community rave network.
Do you cheer at midnight on New Year's Eve?
Eve? I think the whole idea of New Year's Eve is very low pressure, low stakes.
Yeah, that's how I've always thought of it, too. Yeah, like if you don't want to... crazy party, if you don't want the sort of like social pressures that come along with New Year's Eve, or if you're in some cases you're in the service industry and you're going to be working that night.
That's true.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's also on New Year's Eve, there's the Ed Palermo Big Band at the Falcon.
That's cool. Neon Moons at Half Moon.
Yeah,
like
country line dance sort of vibe, two-step vibe at Half Moon in Hudson. I think they do this every year, the sort of Helm family midnight ramble at Levon Helms. So I mean, there's. I was surprised how many events we had in our show paper this month. Put it that way. Usually, it kind of calms down, and we still have. I think we have like close to 100 events listed. So,
and of course, there could be fewer shows later this month because COVID is. Did that jazz show get?
We've had one COVID cancellation so far. Yeah. Wayne Horvitz had to cancel his whole East Coast trip because he couldn't make the flight because he had COVID. And so far, we've been lucky that's been our only show affected. But yeah, it's, you know, obviously going to happen. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, we're in that time right now where it's like, well, is it going to be a major effect on doing things indoors or
doing things indoors in groups packed together? Yeah. Singing loudly sometimes.
Right.
All those things are the negative possibilities, right? Or the negative.
Yeah. I mean, last winter was actually kind of, for us at Avalon at least, pretty blessedly free of too many logistics around that. The winter before, obviously, it was a huge issue. So, yeah, it's a wait and see sort of thing.
But you're seeing a few more masks at shows in the last couple weeks, is what I've been seeing.
Definitely, yeah. And dance parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so if there's anything that you're interested on this show paper, head to chosenfamilypresents.com. You can find it on there, or it's posted on our Instagram, which is at chosenfamilypresents. And like I said, over the winter, at the top of each month, we will post those up. And then we also come on here on WGXC and talk about some of the highlights, some of the interesting stuff.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you again next month, I guess, with many more shows than this month, right?
I think January is the quietest
January
month
quiet
of the year.
Down, yeah.
I think that's the quietest month of the year, yeah.
We've got stuff at Avalon, but, you know, a lot of weeknights are without shows. But there will be stuff happening, but I think January will be quiet, yeah.
So mostly weekends in January, I guess
it sounds like.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We'll be right back.
true. I got daylight and how new. Thinking about me and you. What on earth are we gonna do? My money's gone. My fun is gone. The way things look.